Makes sense out of that variant. Just write this down on about a half a page of paper. Give me another one of these analyses. Revelation 6:17. There's a difference between the pronoun their and his. Their wrath and his wrath. I think the King James has their wrath, if I remember right. You can look at this up in your King James. Yeah, you can use anything you want except for the UBS commentary and all your notes. You should be able to. You can't use the UBS commentary. That gives you too much answers. Oh yeah, you can use the interlinear. Use your King James Bible. Use the apparatus. What page is that on the apparatus? $872. Apply the principles of textual criticism there. See if you can come up with a conclusion and give me an interpretation for both ways. Is there any theological meaning for either way? Their wrath or his wrath? Revelation 6:17. Got it? Page 852. Our tone is there. Our two is his. Everybody kind of got it figured out? The apparatus figured out? I'm only going to give you till 20 after, so I don't want to spend a long time on this. Just 15 minutes, you should be able to write out a few notes. Any questions? How many need more time? Let's take about one more minute here. Let's pass these in. Make sure your name's on it. We'll go over them next week. Next week's our last class. Okay. Bring your UBS next week because we'll probably go over some variants in class. Look these over. Involved. You'll have to be on the tape and do your best to complete the ratings of the translations. You'll still be able to pass. Next semester's pass-fail. It's a matter of completing the course and rating all the verses that we read and totaling up all your numbers, and that's all you're required to do. Go ahead. This semester's graded, yes, because we've had a lot of grades. Next semester, there's pass-fail.
Is that grade for all credit?
Yes. 2 credit hours this semester, be graded. 2 credit hours next semester, pass-fail. Any other questions? Go ahead. Yes. However, everybody wants Rotherham, and there's only one. So, yes, you get to choose. But, you know. No. So, everybody probably gets something they're interested in, but people always want Rotherham or something. And Rotherham isn't that exciting, really. So, another translation. The Holy Bible from ancient Eastern manuscripts. The Holy Bible from ancient Eastern manuscripts. Translated by George M. Lamza. George M. Lamza. We just call it the Lamza translation. It's in the bookstores downtown. He translated the Syriac version of the Bible. There's an age-old argument. The Syriac, by the way, is said to, is the same as Aramaic. The Aramaic language and the Syriac are the same. Since Jesus spoke Aramaic, there's an argument that the New Testament was originally written in Aramaic and translated into Greek. And that Greek is the autograph, the Syriac is a version. Well, there's an argument that the Aramaic is the autograph and the Greek is a version. And there's a whole church that believes this. That church is called the Holy Apostolic and Catholic Church of the East. Holy Apostolic and Catholic Church of the East. And they believe this particular point of view. Now, Lamsa belongs to that church, and he translated the Syriac into English. Lamsa himself was born in Assyria, raised by shepherds. His native tongue was Aramaic. He went to college in Persia. He went to college in Alexandria. He devoted his entire life to the research, study, and translation of the Aramaic version of the Bible. Lamsa claims that the autographs were written in Aramaic and that the Syriac is dates earlier than the Greek. All scholars today, I mean 95%, disagree with Lamsa on many points. And one of the grad students wrote his grad thesis, maybe not a thesis, but a mini thesis, on this particular argument. And his conclusion was that the claims of the Syriac or the Aramaic are false. And he listed them all and refuted them all and covered that whole argument. So there's a thing in the library on this you might put in your notes. If you ever need to really get into this, I'd start with his thesis, give you a real jump on the subject. Lamsa's translation in English is about as reliable as the Syriac is. Fairly accurate. I mean, the Syriac did come from the Greek, and the English came from the Syriac. It's not that bad. His translation itself is somewhat like the King James Version. Amazing. But it's kind of like the King James. Another translation, the New American Bible. Have we covered this? NAB, New American Bible. Did I cover this after the confraternity?
Yes.
Okay. King James 2. King James 2. I don't have a date for this, but it's in the 60s. Translated by Jay Green. Jay Green is essentially a Baptist. King James 2 is, of course, a revision of King James 1. King James 2 is based on the TR. Jay Green is a TR man, a strong Calvinist. He's a real diehard for the TR and that particular point of view. He accuses modern translations, and I quote, "The losses are too numerous to list in anything less than a full-size book," talking about words and phrases left out of the New Testament by Westcott, Norton, and others. "Some of the more important losses would be these. Number one, thousands of words, hundreds of phrases, dozens of verses that have either been totally removed or else have had doubt thrown upon them. Why, he's not even God manifest in the flesh," 1 Timothy 3:16, according to the latest versions. "Two, the deity of Christ is systematically removed or questioned." Now, I object to that. I feel that is totally false. And in the New World Translation, you might make an accusation like that, but you certainly couldn't accuse NAS or ASV or the modern speech translations of that. It's ridiculous. "The power of his blood to cleanse from all sin is obliterated by simply refusing to translate the word for blood. Now, good news for modern man, in 20 references, there's about 100 places where blood is found in the New Testament, and in 20 doctrinal places, good news translates it death or sacrifice about 10 times. But the other translations translate it blood like 17 out of 20, 18 out of 20, or 20 out of 20. So what he's saying here is just completely not true. 3, the virgin birth of Christ and his unique position as the only begotten of the Father are quietly stolen away from God's word. Now these are heavy charges. And I bring this to show you that it's typical of TR advocates to make outrageous charges against the Westcott and Hort textual position that I think are completely unfounded. I don't even know of a variant that really deals with the virgin birth of Christ other than that one where it says Joseph and his mother, and then it says his father and mother. That's the only variant I know of, and that could easily be explained the other way. 4, propitiation becomes merely a remedy for the defilement of sins. Now, that's true in one of the modern speech translations. It's either a Good News or an NEB or maybe a Phillips or Living. They're pretty loose on some of these things. But you can't accuse Westcott and Hort or the Westcott and Hort textual position as that. That's translation. 5, justification by faith is marred by presenting faith as a meritorious work which procures righteousness. I disagree with that. 6, the God-breathed inspiration of the Scriptures is diluted in the new versions until it is only this: every inspired Scripture has its use. Now that is what ASV says, but it is not what Rotherham, NAS, and many other translations say. I'll admit ASV gets the booby prize there, but it's not the majority. 7, redemption is reduced to mere release. In the Old Testament, there's places where release is used. 8, faith is translated to be only an awakening. Maybe in one place, yes, but, you know, it's an exaggeration. 9, righteousness in some modern versions is only goodness, and I object to that myself, but not NAS. It's more Good News and the more modern speech ones that are very casual in some of their translations. 11, the miraculous darkness on the resurrection day was merely a natural eclipse. Yes, Goodspeed and Moffat and these other liberals have made some assumptions there, as they even admit in their translations. But you can't accuse NAS and all the others of that. 12, the demon possession permitted by God in order to gain glory for the Lord Jesus Christ is pretended to be no more than epilepsy. Yes, some of the modern speech translations translate that epilepsy and so forth. 9, it is certain that God's people do not want a new Bible. They just want the old one in a form they can read and understand and trust. Well, maybe. Here are the claims. The King James 2 version. 1, all the majesty, beauty, and glory that is inherent in God's word, and which even its enemies admit were brilliantly incorporated in the original KJV. Well, I don't mind keeping majesty, beauty, and glory in a translation. 2, this Bible has been handled reverently, since we believe without any reservation that the Bible is completely inerrant. As we worked, we feared God, not man. Well, a lot of other translators have too. 3, a pre-study of textual criticism encompassing more than 1,000 hours convinced us the best text was that used by Tyndale and the King James Version scholars. I suspect that 1,000 hours of biased study were done to prove a preconceived idea already held. Others have studied more than that and concluded the opposite. 4, this Bible is translated word for word in an attempt to give a literal rendition of each and every one of God's words. And this is a King James 2 is a literal, but not as literal as Young's or Concordant or any of those. But it's accurate. I'm not saying King James 2 is not accurate. I'm saying the claims are exaggerated. It's an accurate translation. Lately, the translators and paraphrasers have claimed this was impossible without destroying the readability. In this Bible, you will see it is not only possible, but it's desirable. Now, I think liberal paraphrasers have made a claim that is wrong also. All true scholarship has been used, including any late archaeological finds which have thrown light on the translation problems of the Bible. Good, and other translations do the same. Number 6, this Bible has easy-to-understand language. It can be read by elementary school children with relative ease. It is not, however, in basic English. I don't know if it can be read by elementary school children. That's a claim. I don't know that it can. NAS is read in 12th grade level. NIV, which is more readable than King James 2, is read in 7th grade. I don't think elementary school children can read this. Number 7, this Bible has far fewer words added for sense, and they are in italics. Number 8, the three persons of the Trinity, etc. Number 9, Old Testament quotations are in quotation marks. Number 10, none of God's words are left out. Number 11, only proper English is used, no slang in this Bible. I personally don't like slang at all. I think it takes away from the reverence of the scriptures. I don't like hubbub, to do, you know, touch them on the raw, lamb out of here, and all. I don't like that. Number 12. Though many improvements have been made, most well-known verses of the Bible are changed only by removing the Elizabethan English. You will not need to memorize. In fact, this Bible can be used in either the pew or the pulpit interchangeably with the King James Version. I probably could. You could read this Bible from the pulpit, not a whole lot of people would recognize it as something other than the King James, unless they had one and were reading along with you. One comment I have is that prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14 is translated, proclaim the word. I object to that. And healing in 1 Corinthians 12:9 is omitted entirely. And that certainly is a mistake, because it is in the TR. Then another translation that's kind of interesting. Go ahead.
On this version, you know, the King James is notorious for its prepositional misuse and mistranslation. Does he correct a lot of
King
that?
James 2 does correct some of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be kind of a neat thing, really.
I think King James 2 is an accurate translation. It's a good translation. I don't object to it. I object to the claims made.
Right. Yeah.
But the translation itself is good. It's not as good as ASV, but it's good. It'll rate maybe in the top 10. Go ahead.
I had a question on personal pronouns in the Greek when the translator is using it. When the Greek language, when it's translated his, is that not necessarily, I've gone through translations, and I went through Rotherham, the literal, and Wiest. And Wiest was the translation of John the most lined up with my theology. It said, yet the word wasn't the same. The word wasn't a person. The word was more or less personified. And in the Greek language, when the translator translated his, is he doing that just, is that what the Greek is portraying? Is it portraying a personal pronoun, or does the Greek, when it says his, does it just mean yet? How does the Greek?
The Greek says his because the word, the noun logos is masculine.
It has nothing to do with the fact that.
But when you carry it over into English, we don't have masculine, feminine, and neuter nouns. And so it's like Holy Ghost. Ghost is a neuter noun. And you'll notice in the King James, ghost is often called an it in the King James. They are reflecting the translation of a neuter noun by giving it a neuter pronoun. Now, my own feeling is that ghost should be called his, because God is a him, not an it. Whereas logos, word, is an it, not a him. So it's just a matter of translation. It's a matter of theological translation to determine which is which.
So Rotherham, I noticed, translated his, he used a personal pronoun. And Wiest, are they from two different church backgrounds? Or did Wiest just have a better understanding of?
Well, interestingly enough, Wiest is a real strong Trinitarian and often will bend it that way. So if he is more neutral in John 1:1, that's... That's interesting.
And he was the only one. I went through several translations. He was the only one that I could agree with.
Yeah, verse 2. And he, some translate it, and that word, it could be translated it as well, just as well. It's totally up to the translator to decide whether he wants to make the word a person or the word something else.
So it's just understanding of the Greek language. And I've kind of gone around, before I really understood that, I went around a couple of mountains with a couple of Trinitarians on it because I didn't understand Greek.
Well, it's totally interpretation. There's nothing in the Greek that vindicates it either way. You could argue either position and basically be arguing in circles. There's nothing in Greek to argue from. So it's no different than translating the Holy Ghost it, or like over in Romans, and there are other places where it's translated it. And it's just total interpretation. Logos is a masculine noun, though. It'll never change its gender. And we're not talking about sex. We're talking about nouns in a category of masculine, nouns in a category of feminine, and nouns in a category of neuter. There are languages that have nouns divvied up into three genders. And the spelling changes for articles and other things based on what gender it is. So it's just a grammatical thing. It doesn't have anything to do with sex. So, I mean, chair, table, all those have a gender. So.
Well, by that same token, could that word be translated it? Something?
Well, that is a pronoun, and it has to have a meaning. That's an actual pronoun that's in the text.
But that's the same word.
But I mean, there's an antecedent there, I think in Revelation 6:17. So, going back to either the Lord or the Lord and Christ or something, I can't remember the context now. I don't think it could be translated yet, no. Another translation, New King James Version. The New King James Version, very similar to King James 2. New Testament, 1979. Old Testament, 1981. Over 100 scholars, representing the majority of English-speaking nations, labored 7 years. Isn't that amazing? They seem to come up with 7 years, like the original King James. Quote, $1 million is more money than anyone has ever spent to promote a single Bible. And Nelson's New King James Version, published last August, at a cost of $4.5 million, is the product of the most expensive Bible project in history. Nelson, of course, can well afford its multi-million dollar gamble. Last year, the company sold $33 million worth of Bibles, easily maintaining its position as the world's leading producer. So Nelson is the biggest producer of Bibles, and didn't I tell you how many square feet of leather they used and how much gold leaf and all that in another place? Thomas Nelson and Sons, leading Bible producers. Simple English Bible. Simple English Bible. Let me get my notes here. Nineteen seventy-eight, the International Edition, 1981, the American Edition. Simple English Bible by the International Bible Translators, Incorporated. This new translation was designed primarily to communicate to a wide spectrum of people in the U.S. and abroad, uses only easy phrase structures and a vocabulary of about 3,000 words. Sentences are purposely kept short. It is not a paraphrase, but a meticulously constructed translation which expresses the original Greek meaning accurately in natural English equivalents. Now, let me see if this is not a paraphrase. John 1:1. In the beginning, there was the message, and the message was deity. Now, I feel that is a paraphrase. Product of more than 8 years of research by around 1,500 consultants, among them Greek scholars, theologians, under the direction of Stanley Morris. I don't have any dope on him. Tested for 3 years before it was published. Go ahead. They definitely don't like paraphrase because Living Bible has been blasted so much that paraphrase is negative to the average conservative Christian anyway. And so when a translation is a paraphrase, they want to be sure to say that it isn't, so it'll sell. Now, I'm exaggerating there. See, is a paraphrase. In what sense? It's not a pure paraphrase, but it has a lot of places that are a paraphrase. Here's a Bible put out by a Church of Christ minister. And you know what the Church of Christ are like. You ever know what the Church of Christ are like? The only church. If you don't go to the Church of Christ, you're not saved. Well, this translation is called the Better Version. Wouldn't you know it? By Chester Estes, Estes, 1974. Chester Estes, the Better Version, Church of Christ minister. The Reader's Digest Bible, what is that? September 1982. After 2 years of planning and 4 years of production, the Reader's Digest Bible appeared. It claims to be the first condensation of the Bible. It's not. I have a few others. Intended for, quote, the person who has little or no knowledge of the Bible. The person who reads the Bible, only selectively. Or young readers who have never read the Bible. Done by Bruce Metzger and the Bible scholars who worked with him, condense the RSV from almost 1 million words to about 600,000. So they basically took the RSV and knocked out about 400,000 words. Now that would be any duplication. I'm sure the Gospels are probably in a harmony. The Old Testament, lots of duplication there out of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles is eliminated. Things are shortened up. Genealogies are cast out. No chapter or verse numbers. 4.5% of the cover cost goes to the National Council of Churches, the owner of the copyright of the RSV. 1984, The Word, New Century Version. The New Century Version, 1984. Begun in 1973 by WBTC. We had them before, the World Bible Translators something or other conference. 1984, New Century Version. An alternative to paraphrasing, it accurately states the meaning of Scripture in language that can be clearly understood, even into the next century. Repentance is change your heart and life. Disciple is follower. Covenant is agreement. Justify is make right. Genealogy is family history. Antichrist is enemy of Christ. Scribes are teachers of the law. You can see the modern speech here. More than modern speech, the simplification. This translation appears to be very close to the International Children's Version, the ICV. The New Century Version is just the ICV published under a whole different binding, a whole different name, so they can sell the International Children's Versions to adults under a simplified English Bible. Very interesting. We read it in a class, and in about 90 references, it was the same as ICV in about 85. Now, that tells you something. That's not a coincidence. Let's see if I have anything else in here. Let me give you one more. The New Testament in everyday English, J. E. Adams, Counselor and Pastor, 1979. J. Adams, he's pretty well known in Christian circles. He translated the New Testament in everyday English. He tried to, quote, steer mid-course between these extremes, using everyday English throughout. And the extremes are literal and paraphrase. Anyway, we'll probably take him in class and rate him. That's all I have here, and next semester I'll have more on that. Next week's our last class. The micro Bible is what? The whole Bible on a... Oh, really? Yeah, bring it in so we can all see it. Bring in your magnifying glass. What's that? What's the Alpha Text Bible? I've never heard of that. Oh, Godby, Aleph. He translated manuscript Aleph. Yeah, you can write away to God's Bible School. You want the address? God's Bible School. Do you know I don't have my notes on that? What happened to them? It can be bought. I have to get the address of God's Bible School. I don't know where it is. You can get those, though. They're in print by one little place. Well, I'll have to look it up in my file. We do have one in the library, though, and I'll bet it has it in the flyleaf. Okay, well, I'll bring it. I think there are, but I don't know that they cut a pen. We have that one. What we need is a new Godby version.
What you're saying then is masculine in the King James Version has translated masculine in Billy Wright. Just because logos is masculine.
It's a masculine noun.
Masculine noun.
Logos.
Right. If it were Henry, it would also be in the name of Henry.
Henry has to be him.
It has to be him.
Because we know Henry is a person.
Right. But logos, they translate, it could be...
It could be an it, or it could be a him.
Right. Okay.
It's totally open to interpretation.
Okay.
But pneuma is toe, that's neuter. Now, pneuma, the spirit, I would always translate that as a him. Because I know the spirit of God, God is a he, not an it. The King James translates an it, but
following this Jewish pronoun that we get.
Now, they don't always do that. They just do it in a few places.
Mm-hmm.
King James inconsistent. But John 1 isn't necessarily, no doctrinal argument can be derived from he.
Or him.
You know,
man. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It was just an arbitary decision on
mm-hmm.
their part.
Mm-hmm. It's all referring back to the...